My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accepted the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, and look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Yeah, Lord, we pray that Deborah would say all the words of you, and that you would speak through her today to us, and that we would leave feeling light, we would leave feeling free, and we would leave with your words in our heads that she said today, that they would stick with us all week, and that we would come back next week with them still in our heads. We pray that they'd be so powerful that the surrounding areas would feel them too, and that you would be with everyone around, and that you would just show us your love, your peace, and your joy. Holy Spirit, fill this place and fill her of Deborah's word, and I pray that she would hear you clearly and that your communication would be very clear to her today. Amen.
Amen. So it turned out I didn't have my my microphone on. The first time ever, I've had three things wrapped around my ears, my glasses, my mask, and my Britney Spears thing, and I just got overwhelmed with it all, and I forgot to turn the microphone on. But you can hear me now? Excellent, excellent. I'm going to start with something for the younger people, but it's also for the older ones as well. It's a little bit of a clip from a film, Inside Out, and I know I know Shona uses it quite often when she preaches here. So I'm going to play a little clip for you now, Alan, if that's okay.
Oh, the stuffed animal hall of fame! My rocket! Wait, Riley and I were still using that rocket. It still has some song power left. Who is your friend who likes to play? No! No, 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 you can't take my rocket to the dump! Riley and I are going to the moon! Riley can't be done with me.
Hey, it's gonna be okay. We can fix this. We just need to get back to headquarters. Which way to the train station?
I had a whole trip planned for us.
Hey, who's ticklish, huh? Here comes the tickle monster.
Hey, Bing Bong, look at this. Oh, here's a fun game. You point to the train station and we all go there. Won't that be fun? Come on, let's go to the train station.
I'm sorry they took your rocket. They took something that you loved. It's gone. Forever.
Sadness. Don't make him feel worse.
Sorry.
It's all I had left of Riley.
I bet you and Riley had great adventures.
Oh. They were wonderful. Once we flew back in time, we had breakfast twice that day.
Sadness!
It sounds amazing. I bet Riley liked it.
Oh, she did. We were best friends.
Yeah, it's sad.
I'm okay now. Come on, the train station is this way.
did you do that?
I don't know. He was sad, so I listened to what...
Hey! There's the train!
Facts and opinions look so similar.
Don't worry about it. Happens all the time.
That was Bing Bong and joy and sadness in that little clip. And there's something in sadness's ability to just sit alongside the very sad Bing Bong and not try and save the situation, not try and rescue the situation, which is really what joy was trying to do. And actually, once Bing Bong had the chance to just say what was on his heart, to just express his sadness, actually he felt much better after that. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. In my Bible, this passage we've heard is split into two, and it's called listening and doing. And so I'm going to focus, there's so much in the passages of James, but I'm going to focus on those two today. First part, listening, and then we'll look a little bit at the doing part as well. But just keep that in mind, just that little clip of how Bing Bong is heard by sadness. So, how many of you have got one of these with you today? I'm impressed that some haven't, actually. If you were born after the 1990s, most of your life you will have had some form of mobile screen available to you. You have a phone, maybe a PlayStation or a computer game of some sort. I'm not particularly up on those, so I'm not particularly good at naming them. A 24-hour television, actually, with more than five channels. There'll be some people here will have grown up with one or two channels, and then it's increased. It got to five terrestrial, and now there's hundreds. We never have a reason to be bored anymore. All right? Do you know, Microsoft did a survey a few years ago now, and they found that 77% of young people, and that's up to about the age of 30, 40, when they have a moment of doing nothing, when there is a potential to be bored, they will pick up their phone. And that will be their first thing they do. And I guess it's certainly true for me, and I guess it's true for a lot of us in here. We don't know what boredom is anymore. We don't know what silence really is anymore. We yearn to fill it at all times with noise. It used to be when you were waiting for a bus, you would stand there in a queue. If you were unlucky, somebody might talk to you. But otherwise, you might get to sit in silence, but not now. People would be standing on their phones. Or if you're in the cinema waiting for the film to start, you'll see folk on their phones just before the film starts. We rarely sit in peace anymore. We rarely sit in silence. And actually, being in church without something in our hands is so countercultural now. You find out, I went through university 3-4 years ago now, and it was quite common that students' heads would be bowed, not in prayer, but actually because they had their phone on their knee as they were supposedly listening to lecturers. We don't have silence anymore. And the opposite of that is everybody has something to say. Everybody has an opinion that they want to share, whether it's a tweet, whether it's something on TikTok, whether it's a Facebook post, whether they want to actually react to a Facebook post that they think is incendiary, that they think sort of fires them up, makes them angry, they want to respond. People are constantly interacting with one another in this digital age. And this online world in particular has made us really quick to respond to things. Whereas in the past, everything would be done face to face, there would be time between interactions, maybe even letter writing. Nowadays, how easy is it to send a message to somebody, or a tweet, or an email, and as soon as you hit send, you think, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. We are very quick to react nowadays. It makes it really easy to be misunderstood. And I guess many of us will have, especially the young ones, you know, my two girls have certainly encountered this, where they're having an interaction with somebody and suddenly everybody seems to fall out because somewhere along the way, there's a misunderstanding. We have misunderstood each other as we've texted. You can't tell sarcasm particularly over written texts, and people fall out, they rise up, you get anger expressed. And that, now, and particularly the younger ones, all right, in the group, the millennials and below, you will know that. That is something that happens frequently to you. For those of you here who are parents of millennials or younger, your children will be experiencing that. And that makes these words of James really difficult for that generation to put into action. We have become really polarized because that is one of the results of our digital age. We're either for something or we're against it. And that lovely gray area in the middle, it just doesn't seem to exist in the same way. Nowadays, it's you're for independence in Scotland or you're against it. The Black Lives Matter, look what happened in the United States over that. People fighting back and saying, no, all lives matter, but which actually defeats the purpose of what Black Lives Matter meant. But there is this polarization in our world nowadays that means we get people on different sides who actually never come together and never interact with each other. Now, this is not just a digital problem. You know, you will hear from my accent, I grew up in Northern Ireland. I grew up in Northern Ireland right the way through the Troubles. And although I had a fairly middle-class upbringing there, I definitely felt and believed that my side was right and the other side was completely wrong. You know, there was very little mixing. There was very little opportunity to hear the other side of a story. And very often when you did hear it, you didn't quite believe it. I would, let me just admit that, be quite dismissive. So that polarization has been there. It exists in Scotland, I know. You know, I was somewhat surprised, I have to say, to see Glasgow one morning, oh, many years ago now, I was going to work to discover orange marches in Glasgow. I thought I had left that all behind me. But no, you know, that polarization, the sort of the football divide that you get maybe in the west of Scotland, it's here too. But actually, that's not what James wants for us. That is not what God is wanting for us. He is wanting us to listen to each other, to be quick to listen, and to be slow to be angry. I want to read a couple of lines from a John Mark Comer book, which I know a few of you have read, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. He's great. He speaks to younger generations in ways that some older books don't. And so for that reason, we need to listen to people like him. But he's talking about the digital age, and he says this: all of this has profound implications for our apprenticeships to Jesus and our experiences or lack of experiences of the life that he has on offer for us. How so? It's simple. This new normal of hurried digital distraction is robbing us of the ability to be present. To be present to God. To be present to other people. Present to all that is good, beautiful, and true in our world, and even present to our souls. The noise of the modern world makes us deaf to the voice of God, drowning out that one voice that we most need in our lives. And so we lose the ability to listen to one another and to God. And if you remember back to the series that we did, I have no idea if it was an In Real Life or online series. My mind is playing tricks with me, but the emotionally healthy spirituality, you will know that that inability to listen is not what God wants for us. It is not a good place to be. And we do struggle to listen to one another. And I know I won't be the only one who's maybe introduced to somebody new at an event, and within 10 seconds, I've forgotten their name. All right? And I know that's because I'm more anxious about the impression I'm making than actually about focusing on the person who's opposite me. Or how often do we get involved in an excited conversation with friends or family, and actually you're not really listening to what the person's saying. What you're thinking is, oh, I know a good reply to that. I need to get in with what I want to say. And actually, you're thinking, you're listening more to reply rather than to what somebody wants to be heard or wants to say to us. And so James warns us against speaking out too quickly and about not listening. It leads to misunderstanding, and we need only look to the politics of today to see how true that is. And that is not what God is wanting for us. The Inside Out video clip that I showed you showed the benefits of drawing alongside folk and listening. But actually, we find that too in the book of Job, Job chapter 2. Job has some comforters, he has some friends who spend the best part of 42 chapters trying to talk to Job and to tell him what he's been doing wrong and how he can get back right with God again. But actually, Job has lost his animals. He has lost his farm. He has lost his children, his sons, and his daughters. And at the very beginning of the book, we read this. I'm reading from chapter 2. There we go. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and they met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud. They tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Their first reaction was the right one, to draw alongside him, just like Sadness did with Bing Bong, sit in the dust and weep with him. We are so quick to try and rescue someone. We are so quick to wipe away another's distress. But it actually takes not joy's enthusiastic try and distracting, but it takes the courage of Sadness to sit alongside someone in their grief and join them. And that is the way we connect to others, and others can connect to us. And let's face it, we are all wired for connection, first and foremost to God, our Creator, Jesus, our Savior. But actually, we're wired for connection to each other. And in order to connect with God, with one another, we need to be willing to show some vulnerability, to share our story. And we heard a little bit of Rachel and Lal's most recent story now, which, although it is an answer to prayer and it is such good news, it's also tinged with sadness for us because we will miss you guys. And there is also healing available to us when you do get to tell your story. If you have the chance, as Bing Bong did, to say of some of the adventures that he had had with Riley, that just expressing that is healing. To share some of our stories of what's been going on in our life as well can bring healing to us. And I think I want to touch as well, it's one of our greatest fears as a child, an infant, as a teenager, and as an adult as well, is not being heard. And somebody not listening to you, or not hearing your fear, your grief, whatever it is, and ignoring that. That there's a real loss when you are not heard, and opposite to that, there's a real healing when you are heard. If there's anyone here who has had a complicated medical problem and that you have struggled to make yourselves known and understood to a medical profession, you will know that sense of frustration at not being heard. If you're a child who has had a nightmare, a bad dream at night, you know you just want that fear, that fright, to be acknowledged and then be comforted. And throughout the Gospels, Jesus listens to those around him, and he encourages vulnerability, and he listens. We have the Samaritan woman in John 4. She's misunderstood and rejected by men and women around her. But Jesus listens, and he responds to her deepest need, and as a result, she drops her water jar and goes to tell others of her encounter. In Luke 8, we hear the cries of Jairus, and Jesus hears those cries as he talks about his daughter dying. And Jesus responds. And in that same section, we have the issue of blood from the woman who has been ill for 12 years, is it? Yes. And he heals her shame and her condition. Jesus is our model of the effective listener. And so I want to encourage you, as we end the doing bit of the talk, in this week, sorry, the listening bit, not the doing bit, to look at setting down electronic devices for a while, to sitting in silence, and to practice and not find silence fearful, so that then when we've spent time alone with God in silence, in his word or in prayer, it actually becomes that little bit easier for us to listen to our friends, our family, the stranger that we meet at a bus queue, and just let them share a little of their story as well. And we do that for each other. And this is one of the ways that we are in this together. We try not to brush each other off, but actually to try and give the time and hear each other out. And then, moving on to the doing bit, James says this. He says, do not merely listen to the word, but do it. Don't just read your Bible, don't just go to church, but do it too. And so I'm going to demonstrate that this morning. I would actually really like a volunteer to come up and help. Now, there's four at the back, I'm impressed, but the one who gets up actually gets to drink this as well. Would you like to? Can I just check with the children? Does Martha want to come up? She's not keen, is she? She's not going to be forced to come, I'm sorry. Yeah, Mum's coming too. Yeah, Martha and Monica. This is very impressive. Well done. Right. Okay, so actually, we need that. Mum can give that a bit of a thump. Maybe Mum can do it and you can just stand there. Right, this milk is us. Now, this is chilled milk, so this is going to be okay to drink. Just a wee bit more. Right. And this chocolate sauce is the Word of God. The sweet, sweet Word of God. Do you like that? Right. I would like you to add lots of chocolate sauce to the milk, okay? I did not think to bring along anything. It might, yes, spill out. Okay. Yeah, plenty, plenty of chocolate, plenty of the words of the Lord in us. Yep, brilliant. That's a good amount of chocolate sauce. Sugar levels are going to be spiking. Right, I think we'll probably stop there. Okay, so this is now fuller maybe than I would have anticipated. So have we got chocolate milk? No. No, we haven't yet. We've kind of got a mix. Looks like it might be a cocktail or maybe a mocktail of some sort. What do we need to do to it to make a chocolate milk? We need to stir it up. Would you like to? Now, Mum might need to help here. Just keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. You'll be there for the rest of the time. You can go to church. You can have God's word poured into your life. But until it is stirred up, there is nothing at all. Oh, look, we're getting there. Good mixing. Can I show that?